Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, what up, everyone? Welcome to Wrestling Spoilers Daily. It is an honor and privilege to be with all of you. Anthony Alford, Outdog here with you on this episode of Wrestling Spoilers Daily. And pretty much one of the main reasons why we've decided to do this show is to try to give a daily platform of the latest news and happenings that is going on in professional wrestling, MMA, pop culture. Hopefully we'll get Mayweather, Pacquiao, all those things. All those things we're going to try to deliver to you in a quick, easy fashion. Daily, if you want to call in, if you're listening to us live, call the number 646-787-1627. 27, that is the number to call in. And in case you're wondering where my partner in crime, Ethan T. Rumble Trombley, is, he's busy. He is busy working hard. He's healthy, so don't worry about it. Do check out his article if you have not looked at it yet. SeekingAlpha.com, top five WWE storylines as far as the fourth quarter earnings. Look at that. Look at that. Study that article, because that article lays out where the product is going, and honestly, it lays out that many financial experts don't know the business of WWE. They really don't. And I will get to that in just a second. We'll get to that because we had Chris Harrison on last night, Wrestling Spoilers Live, our Monday Night Raw Pulse show. We had him on. And we asked him a lot of, well, I don't want to say tough questions, but poignant questions about the economics and why certain things are happening. We asked a lot about those things, and we'll get to that in just a bit. But man, how about Raw, huh? Everything, I'm going to be flat out honest, everything that did not involve Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns was actually good. I think what John Cena did last night was actually good, because you expect a couple things. You shouldn't expect this to be a one-off, the Cena-Rusev. You shouldn't expect it to be a one-off. It will not be a one-off. It will be, or it should be, unless they're stupid, the writers were talking about. It should be a feud that carries on to WrestleMania, possibly beyond WrestleMania. So this is only the first step of it. And as everyone knows, Cena has a huge fan base. The key element to building a Cena match with an up-and-coming superstar in the early stages, they've done it right. Rusev kicks Cena's ass, and then on the go-home show, give Cena fans hope. Give them the hope that they need to ensure that Super Cena, the hero, the conqueror, is going to come through. Give them that hope that it's going to happen. WWE Network is free, so that'll give people an incentive to sign up for the show. I was going to say increase buys, but that's... Well, wait a minute. You got to remember, there was 100,000 buys for Survivor Series, and that was also a free month. But the UK was not involved with the WWE Network at that point in time. They are now. They are now. That was good. Dean Ambrose was fantastic. The development of the mid-card feuds was fantastic. The Miz, for a long chunk of time, I cringe when I hear The Miz's music because my man from Parma, Ohio, yes, folks, Parma, Ohio, which is a suburb of Cleveland, which is what he used to come out as. He used to be introduced as The Miz from Parma, Ohio, not Cleveland. Actually, now he's introduced as being from Hollywood. The Miz is money on the undercard. I mean, he can't. That one-on-one matchup with Mizdow when it happens at WrestleMania, that's going to be something special. That's going to be something special to see. That's a feud that a lot of these guys on the mid-card, they're going after it. They're going after it. Stardust, I didn't think that Stardust as the character, the Cody Rhodes character as Stardust, I did not think that Stardust had lasting power once he was done with Goldust. Stardust, give him a storyline. Give him legitimate storylines. Dude's the Joker. Dude is the Joker, for real. He is the Joker. Give him legitimate storylines. Stardust, the character, is upper mid-card material. In the future, he is upper mid-card material. If the brands were split, he would be contending, probably wouldn't win, but would contend for the World Heavyweight title on SmackDown if they were around, if the brand split was still there. And man, oh man, Triple H and Ric Flair. That was something special to see. That was Triple H at his best. That's the Triple H we all love to hate. The one that we saw last night. The one pushing, plowing through the Nature Boy Ric Flair. Pretty much indirectly saying that he will never be Ric Flair, but he will never be Triple H. Thus, Triple H is the king of the world. One thing about it, though, Triple H, we say that Triple H's storylines, his WrestleMania storylines, are spot on. Why is that the case? Why is his storylines pretty much spot on? And he made us care about a face-off with Sting. They're not even wrestling this Sunday. A face-off with a guy that half the audience or a quarter of the audience doesn't even know about. How did Triple H make us care about that? He sold a face-off. That's talent. That is talent. That's about as talented as you can get. How do you sell a talking segment that's going to happen on a pay-per-view? Triple H did it. Watch Triple H. His interaction with Ric Flair, and we cannot discount Ric Flair, of course, in his role in all this, knowing the history between the two. But why is Triple H's feuds going into WrestleMania? This is not a complaint on his part. But you look back at everything that Triple H has been involved with that really hasn't been fully top-tier main event. his feuds are spot on, because guess who's writing Triple H's feuds? Triple H. Guess who has to report to everyone else? Guess who has to report to Kevin Dunn and to Vince McMahon? Everyone else. They have single-handedly managed to screw up the main event of Fastlane. I said in my article that I had on our wrestlingspoilers.tumblr.com, on our Tumblr page. That's our web address. It's a little lengthy, but it's doable. It's wrestlingspoilers.tumblr.com. One of the five things I was looking for, me, Anthony Albert, one of the top five things I was looking for, the Daniel Bryan story. If they truly care about his character, you need to tell us the Daniel Bryan story. We need to know his story. I said in that article that we may not see this as a ripple effect after last night, but you will know that last night planted the seeds for possible destruction of the booking, of the writing. Last night's Raw was in Orlando, Florida, home to NXT. And while Triple H, and we must acknowledge that Triple H did say on the Stone Cold podcast, yes, they're serving different audiences. Yes, the audience that WWE, the main roster, is targeting is younger kids. And yes, I don't forget those factors. I know that when watching that the product, for the most part, is not intended to be geared towards an audience like myself. A young 20s, 23 years old. It's not meant to be geared towards us. It's meant to be geared towards people like the kids that I coach in youth track and field or youth basketball. Those people is what the product's supposed to be targeted to. That's fine and dandy. And it's smart, because if you get the kids to buy in, then the parents will buy in, and then the parents will buy tickets not just for themselves but for the kids, and then the whole family's going to come, and then they're going to buy merchandise for all of them, not just one person. Boom, you're set. That doesn't mean that you run away from the fundamentals of creative writing in wrestling. Doesn't mean you run away from it. You have two stories to tell. Now, Roman Reigns' case, yeah, they had a lot of work to do after the Royal Rumble with Roman Reigns. They have made sure that Roman Reigns is about as protected as possible. During their segments, Daniel Bryan was on commentary. Roman Reigns came to ringside. He was not on commentary. Daniel Bryan was forced to talk a lot. Roman Reigns was not. Therefore, Roman Reigns had a more extensive interview with more questions. Daniel Bryan did not. This was Daniel Bryan's job to sell the match. The writing failed, and Daniel Bryan failed, leading me to believe that the main event pay-per-view result is not in question. It really is not in question who's going to win. Who has had the resources between Reigns and Bryan? Who has had the resources going into this pay-per-view? think the Roman Empire prevails on this one. Now, we'll have our official pay-per-view predictions later on in the week, myself, Ethan. We got a little fun things that we're going to do with that later on this week. It's pretty self-explanatory. What's going on with that? If they really cared about Daniel Bryan's story, if they really cared and were in touch with their audience, tell the Daniel Bryan story of redemption, of the comeback. Not only did they forgo all that, but as I said in the podcast last week, you are seeing the ripple effects of booking from the Royal Rumble. You're seeing it. Pay-per-views will do that. We had a hot show that night after the Royal Rumble. Why? Because people were pissed. Vince McMahon likes to say, and I'm going to bring this back to our interview last night with Chris Harrington of WrestleNomics Radio and Bleacher Report. Vince likes to tout that, well, we have this high number in social media. We have this high number in social media. And that's just every, people in the business. We do this in social media. And, hashtag cancel WWE Network. That was just fans who really cared about our product but were just pissed that Santa Claus didn't come for Christmas. Who says that? Who says that? For a company that has this much resources in the social media, they are out of touch with how to use it and how to utilize it. They're out of touch with it. They're extremely out of touch. It's interesting. It's interesting, and that's really what Chris brought that up, how they're pretty much out of touch. They tout all these things with social media. We have the number one YouTube channel compared to all the sports leagues. We do this with social media. We get all of our we do all these things. What are you going to do after WrestleMania? How are you going to prove? How are you going to make WWE Network a success beyond WrestleMania? How? Here's the key factor. Why do fans end up canceling? Like myself. There was a period back in September, before that, where I flat out canceled WWE Network. And I resubscribed in early January. Why did I resubscribe? Because we was in WrestleMania season. But my current plans are, the moment WrestleMania is over, I'm canceling. I am done. That's not to say that I'm not a real fan. Yes, I'm going to watch Raw. I'm going to watch SmackDown almost every week. Raw, I'm going to watch pretty much every week. SmackDown, because it's on Thursdays, I will probably watch every week now. Why have the network? No network. And yes, if they want to treat themselves as a linear network, which is what they are, even though it's on a computer, then we'll treat them as such. What network thrives when it's basically based on history? When your original programming is not really new programming, but it's repackaged history programming. WWE Countdown. That's a history program. Monday Night War. That's a history program. Even the History Channel has new original programming. NXT's the star. But pay-per-views only come once a month. And there's not enough awareness of NXT for that to be the main draw. So my idea, sign on Stone Cold full-time. Sign on Jericho full-time. Sign on guys like us or people who follow the wrestling product. Give them podcasts, run it all day. That's cheap, original, up-to-date programming. You figure the people who have the network probably religiously follow WWE, follow wrestling. Give them that platform. Give people a reason to watch WWE Network on a daily basis. Give people a reason to do that. Because no one is going to watch a network that's strictly based on history beyond, you know, once they get it, yeah, they'll be like, oh, my God, it'll be great. That was me. Back last February, like, oh, my God, this is phenomenal. And they're like, oh, WrestleMania, you run out of stuff to watch. And on top of that, most of the history, the archives, you can find on YouTube without even signing up for the damn network in the first place. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. We ran a contest last night on our Twitter page at YIFKR. Or YKIFR, there you go. YKIFR, you know it's fake, right? We ran a contest. The contest was to predict the exact time and length, like the time and the length, of the Divas match. So here's what we're talking about. There's no area that exemplifies the line of thinking that Triple H, the current generation, compared to Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, the old generation, where the disconnect is, then with the women. They tell the audience that women should be empowered and looked up to. Yet, you only provide spotlights for models, essentially. You make, and have made for years, actual wrestling storytelling in the women's division secondary. It's infuriating. Reed Bella, in a Q&A, said that if she was in NXT, she would not want to be called up. As somebody who has been in the wrestling WWE promotional marketing machine, and as somebody also who, next to Nikki Bella, was the reason why Total Divas was made. And she's saying that. She is saying that. This time a year ago, we all wanted Paige to be called up. Why? Because she was putting on phenomenal matches, and she was the most compelling character, one of the most compelling characters in all of WWE. And look at how they've used her when she's been on the main roster. Her feud with AJ should have been the best WWE Divas feud since Trish Stratus and Mickie James. It was not. These writers, Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn, and their team of writers, their vision of what women, how women sell, which doesn't work because people go to the bathroom when women's matches, is just parade them out there and give them storylines that have no substance and are filled with cartoonish high school drama than actual compelling storylines that involves around wrestling abilities. Tomorrow, we'll be on again at some point throughout the day. We'll be on again, Wrestling Spoilers Daily. We're going to give you the real deal. I mean, we're going to do this leading up to Fastlane. We're looking forward to it. Fastlane. Again, I encourage you guys all, if you have not listened to our podcast last night from Wrestling Spoilers Live, catch it. Watch it. Or listen to it, I should say. Listen to it. With our interview with Chris Harrington. And he was a phenomenal guest. And then check out our Tumblr page, WrestlingSpoilers.tumblr.com. We have exclusive articles, editorials, some fun things for you on there. And then if you're already not following our Twitter page where we put our latest stuff, follow us at YKIFR, which stands for You Know It's Fake, Right? The number one poignant question that any wrestling fan gets. You know it's fake, right? Tomorrow, we're going to focus on Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman. Chris made a good point. Will Brock Lesnar, where's Brock Lesnar going after WrestleMania? Is he staying here? Is he staying with WWE? Does he go to UFC? Does he go to Bellator? Is he done? He's going to box. He won't go to boxing. Where does Brock Lesnar go from here? Because that will determine a lot. That will determine a lot. So we will discuss that tomorrow on this very program. Where does he go? And we got a little fun thing that we're going to do as well tomorrow. A little thing we got set up that we're going to do. All right? So that is it for myself. That is it. We'll be with you tomorrow. And then don't forget Sunday right after the pay-per-view. After Fastlane on both East and West Coast, join us right after. We're on at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific for Fastlane post-show live. We will have that from you. For all of us here at Wrestling Spoilers Daily, I am Anthony Alford. Good night, America.